Coming up next, Howard Holly presents Against All Odds. And now your host, Howard Holly.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another fantastic Saturday morning. My name is Howard Holly, and you're listening to Against All Odds. And I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Wetzel. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Howard.
Kristen, we had a great show last week. I know it's a show that I lost control of with Cuba Gooding Sr. Let's talk about that a bit.
There was no control in this room. It was craziness. But I think his big thing was perseverance. You know, persevering, not succumbing to the negative. Not those negative influences, being able to overcome negative influences and persevere. And that's what led him to be successful. And I think that it was a really good show. I mean, he had a lot of energy. I think his show is going to be great. His 70s.
Right. Yeah, down at the Mary McLeod, yes. Bethune Performing Arts Center, yep. In Daytona Beach. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And the proceeds go to charity.
Yep.
To help students that can't afford books and different kinds of housing and whatnot.
What I liked about Cuba Gooding was the fact that he's still performing at 70. At 70 years old, he's still performing. And what's equally as impressive, people still want to see him and hear him. So I thought that was fantastic.
I'll tell you what, I'm 32 and I don't have as much energy as Cuba Gooding at 70. That man was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. Anyway, let's start to talk about our guest today. Our guest today is Gary Lubi, who's the Senior Vice President of Commercial Business for Ameris Bank, and which previously was Prosperity Bank. And I want to welcome Gary. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Howard. Glad to be here.
And I'm glad you're here as well, Gary. So Gary and I have known each other for a few years. In fact, yeah. He's one of the reasons I've been so actively engaged in the chamber here. But
our anniversary was this past Sunday.
It was Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
We met on the Sundancer in 2000 and probably 10.
It was right
maybe.
Before you officially retired. Yeah, right,
so,
at the time you officially
retired. So it might have been 2009, so
should
about
I be
5 years ago.
Should I be concerned that you guys are celebrating your anniversary?
Exactly.
But, Gary, let's start off. Let's talk about...
I met his mother before I met his wife.
Well, I'll tell you what, his mom is a nice lady.
She is a wonderful lady.
I love her.
She was just talking about you the other day, Gary. So, Gary, let's talk about Ameris Bank. Ameris, rather. I always get that mispronounced.
Yes.
Talk about that. Tell me about the bank and what you do there.
Well, we're a community bank. Right. And just like Prosperity Bank, we're very involved and committed to the local community and helping our community build itself and grow and prosper. In terms of what do I do is that I serve as the commercial banking liaison, if you will, mm-hmm. for Flagler County. I also oversee our commercial banking activities in Putnam County and to some extent portions of Volusia County as well.
And so commercial is defined as doing business with the business community?
Exactly. It's small businesses, both on the commercial side, manufacturers. It can be real estate developers, mm-hmm. and doctors, attorneys, and CPAs and so forth in the service industry as well. We also now have agricultural lending expertise within our bank. That we didn't have before, which is really exciting. Expand the treasury management capabilities, mm-hmm. and also the small business SBA loans. Mm-hmm. We've expanded our product line with SBA loans. So as a result of that, from the standpoint of what I can deliver to the community and to the customer base that we have and others that would like to join us, is a community bank approach.
Mm-hmm.
With a broader set of resources mm-hmm. than what I had before.
So, Gary, were you born a banker?
I guess now that I say that I'm in banking going on 38 years, I guess I'm going to have to start saying I was born that way. I used to say I started when I was 12, and actually I started when I was 18 in college as a teller.
Uh-huh. So you have been in the banking industry your whole adult life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went from thinking about being a basketball coach, which some days I wonder about, looking at the salaries that some of those folks make these days. But no, I've been in banking and have enjoyed it for 38 years now.
And you've been in a lot of different banks.
Yeah, yes and no. I've been part of the Bank of America organization 5 generations removed, you mm-hmm, could say. Mm-hmm. In fact, I went to a reunion of people that I joined back in 1979 in Tampa, Freedom Savings. And we had a reunion last week, and my wife and I were the youngsters. We actually met there when we were 21 and 23 years old.
Oh, really? So yeah, you met your wife at the bank that you were working?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So, but no, it's been a great ride, but from Freedom Savings, went over to CNS Bank, and while I was at CNS Bank, NCNB took over Freedom Savings. And then when CNS and NCNB merged, they formed Nations Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, I stayed on with Nations Bank. And then later that organization bought Bank of America and then took on its name and changed the name to Bank of America. And so I was with them for 25 years.
So you never had any interruption of employment? You never had any layoffs or anything?
No. Let's just say I never had any official interruptions of employment. Mm-hmm. I had a possible interruption of employment in 1991, latter part of 1991, when we were going through the CNS and NCNB merger. At that time, there were a lot of mergers and acquisitions going on within the banking and savings and loan industry, for that matter. And in most cases, there was a lot of market overlap. Mm-hmm. And in the CNS-NCNB merger and the Nations Bank, there was a tremendous amount of overlap, particularly in the market that I was in Pinellas mm-hmm. County. And so as a result
Pinellas
of that,
County here in Florida.
Pinellas mm-hmm. County in Florida, right, St. Pete Clearwater mm-hmm. area. And I had worked in that area all total of my career 15 years. But
wow.
At that point in time, what they did was they had to reduce the number of people that they had within the commercial lending division there. And my job ended up being one of the ones that got eliminated. But as a result of that, it really became an opportunity for me.
In what way?
Well, I was probably at that juncture, I had been doing commercial lending for 5 years. I had started to have a desire to expand my career. I had been in retail banking before as a branch manager for 5 years. So I had a very diverse background, which is becoming more and more unusual in today's banking world. Usually you got either retail or you got commercial, and you don't usually mm-hmm. have a blend of those mm-hmm. two. But what I did at that point in time, I said, is I wanted to get into an expanded leadership role within the retail banking world and get back into coaching and leading teams mm-hmm. versus just myself individually. And so as a result of that, moved into a banking center manager role about February of 1992 and became a banking center manager for the North Clearwater office for them. And did that for about 18 months, and then they promoted me to a regional sales manager role for all of Pinellas County. I actually worked for two region execs there, one in North Pinellas and one for South Pinellas. And we would joke around that I worked full-time for both of them since I was putting in about 80 hours a week.
I can understand that.
But it was a great opportunity.
Now, where were you in Kentucky, before or after?
That was after. Uh-huh. And then went on from there. They promoted me down to South Florida into Broward County. Mm-hmm. And I was the regional sales manager for East Broward County for about 2 years. And that was kind of the start then that where moving companies were calling me every 2 years to say, okay, you're ready to go.
Is it time now?
Yeah, because we made a bunch of moves. And so at that point, that's when I was offered promotion to go up to Kentucky and Tennessee and actually be the region exec for the mid-northern Tennessee market. That included four offices in Kentucky, one on Fort Campbell on the Army base, and the other three in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And I was actually what I jokingly refer to as the last president of Nations Bank of Kentucky.
So, yeah, who cares, right?
Because, yeah, because at that point, that was right before all the state charters and or state boards and all that started to just blend
change,
into
yeah.
one
sure.
national
yeah.
Board of directors.
So, Gary, one of the things I ask people in this segment of our show is, do you consider yourself to be successful, yes or no? And if yes, then how do you measure that success?
I would, and I'm probably a little more bashful about that part, but yeah, in some ways. But yes, I do consider myself successful. First and foremost, I think about my family and my wife in particular, my children, my grandchildren now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is the basis for all of it. And we've lived a good life together, and we've been together now probably over 34 years and married over 33.
Mm,
so as thank you. And so that first and foremost. Secondly, I believe that in terms of growing your career and so forth, but doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm. What's the right way?
Successful.
What's the right way?
Well, one, I think you have to have integrity about what you're doing and have respect, and then also enjoy and have a passion for doing what you're doing. And that, to me, the enthusiasm that you have will come through. And there's, depending on which motivational speaker or who you want to read or listen to, I think one of the things that always is extremely important is that you have a passion for doing what you're doing. And if at all possible, it can be more of a hobby than it is actually a, quote, job.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's extremely important as well.
Absolutely.
And I think the other thing, too, is in terms of just being able to enjoy life in general and be able to give back to the communities that you've lived in and so forth. And I think that's ultimately something that I'm real proud of, been able to get real involved here in our local community over these last 7 years and feel real good about the things that not just me, but a lot of people collectively that we have accomplished here in this county.
So, Gary, we're going to take a break and listen to our sponsors, but I think you've talked about some good things. You've talked about measuring successfully by doing, being able to do the right thing the right way. About the value of your life and about giving back to the community. All very important things. Let's hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back. You are listening to Against All Odds.
Let's face it, your customers are searching online. Are they finding you? Websites are drawing all the traffic. Your business needs to get better placement online and get noticed. At Marlin Consulting Solutions, located in Palm Coast, we use the latest SEO techniques to get you noticed online. I'm Jason Johnson, owner of Marlin Consulting Solutions. You can contact us at 386-957-9311 or find us online at marlincs.com.
Howard Holly Presents Against All Odds is being brought to you in part by Touchpoint Alliance. Touchpoint Alliance, a global alliance for communication excellence, headquartered here in Palm Coast, provides end-to-end communication solutions that help colleges, universities, and associations acquire, retain, and grow their customer base. Visit us at www.touchpointalliance.org or for a free consultation, call us at 386-283-5906.
Welcome back. My name is Howard Holly, and you are listening to Against All Odds with my co-host, Kristen Wetzel. And our guest today is Gary Lubi, Senior Vice President of Commercial Banking at Amerus Bank. And we were just talking to Gary about success and how he measures it. And at this portion in our show, Gary, we began to talk about the habit and the experiences and what we learn by overcoming adversities and challenges. And so, I want to pose a question to you. I mean, I know you've had a long run in the banking industry, but what have been the greatest adversities that you've faced during that time, and what have you learned from them?
I think one of the things that has been my greatest adversity during that time frame was twice I was told that your job's being eliminated. And you know, initially, that's a blow. It's a blow mentally to you from a you know, belief in yourself, and you're saying, well, why? Especially when it's coming through mergers, because those are very complex decisions that managers have to make. And I've been on both sides of those decisions in the past. I've had to deliver that message, and I've also had to receive it. And quite frankly, it's a lot easier to receive it than deliver it.
I would strongly agree with that, Gary. Haven't done both as well.
When that came to me at that time, I knew I wanted to. The first time it happened to me was in 1991 when we were going through the merger with NCNB and CNS and the Nations Bank. And I, at that time, I knew I wanted to remain with Nations Bank. I just had a belief, and I was on board, as Hugh McCall would say, I was on the train, and I was ready to move forward. And I knew I wanted to stay with the company. So while I was considering some other jobs elsewhere, I was still actively looking within the company and felt like at some point in time I'd be able to. I was given about 90 days basically to go find a job. So I was a free agent of sorts, but still on the team. And as a result of that, what it ended up doing was it caused me to really explore within myself. And the first thing I did was I just sat down and wrote down all the names and thought of all the people that I knew that could be key influencers in helping me locate a job. And at that time, the unemployment rate was climbing, not nearly as high as we've seen in recent years here, but it was climbing, and banking was going through such a consolidation that the amount of jobs that were open at that time were very, very limited. But what it did was I sat down with a customer one time, and I was describing to him all the things I was considering and looking into, and he looked at me right across the table, and I still remember him telling me this, and his name was Danny, and Danny looked at me and he said, "So basically what you're telling me is this could be the best thing that ever happened to you. You just don't know it yet." And I have used those words so many times since then.
Sometimes we're reluctant to change, and we need an external factor to push us to make that change.
Yeah. And what it did was it caused me to look at other things. And what was ironic was the bank made me feel like they did want to try to keep me, you know, in some capacity and all that. And then out of the blue, I was probably this close. And my fingers, for those of you, are real close. I was this close to going to another bank. And I called up a friend of mine within Nations Bank, and he said, "If you can wait 24 hours, and you cannot tell anybody that I've told you this, because otherwise I will have to do away with you for learning this, but you're going to get an offer tomorrow to stay with the bank." And the kind of offer he described to me, I was ecstatic, because it was exactly the career path I wanted to go and get back into retail banking. And as a result of that, I'll still never forget the fact that I had that opportunity. But not only that, within about 2 years later, I was moving on to all these different promotions.
It opened up other doors.
And so within 3 to 4 years, I was a senior vice president and also president of Nations Bank of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And then my market expanded from 19 to 30 to 47 offices in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Had the good fortune of living in Nashville, Tennessee for 4 years.
Right on the same street
City.
My sister lived on, if you remember that.
Yes.
On
right off of Holt Road.
Right, Holt Road, right.
Yeah, very, very close.
So, Guy, you've used the term that I'd like you to share with our listeners. You've used the term personal board of directors.
Yes. This is something that one of my leaders earlier on in my career at Nations Bank shared with me one time when I was talking to him about career pathing and so forth, and how could I grow my career within the bank. And what was kind of ironic at that time, I was still living in Pinellas County, and they would always ask you, where do you want to, you know, where would you be willing to consider relocating to?
Mm-hmm.
And I said I would consider Nashville, Tennessee, in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they asked you where would you not want to move to, and I said South Florida. Well, I ended up living in all three of those places, including South Florida. As I would say, I did two tours of duty in South Florida over my career. But what ended up happening for me, though, is he said, you know, think about who you'd want on your personal board of directors, and these are people that you go to and confide in, and also they give you guidance and so forth. And for me, it's typically been 3 to 5 people, and they have varied over the course of my career. But I typically look at those people and say, well, geez, what do you think about this? Or these are people I'll go to.
Mm-hmm.
And they have given me guidance, and they've also been willing to be honest with me, too. You know, you have strengths in that, or you don't.
Right.
You need to stay away from that. And that's the other thing you need is you don't want to just always hear the worst coach is the coach that just tells you what you're doing right.
Correct.
And not the things that you can grow from. So those people become real critical to you.
Is that different from centers of influence?
To some extent, no. But to some extent, yes. I think to the extent of the fact that you're probably talking to them, centers of influence to me are people that – know a lot of other people and so forth, but they don't necessarily know you
so it's the difference between networking and actually having people who are committed to your success.
Kind of a combination of mentor and center of influence.
So Gary, I'd like to make a comment about a recent event in your life and then get some feedback from you. You were recently appointed by the governor to the Board of Trustees for Daytona State College. So
that's correct.
I want to extend a congratulations to you. Well deserved. But all it does is extend what you do. I mean, you're already busy, and now you're busier. What made you raise your hand for that? And, you know, and what do you expect you can bring to our community as a result of your presence?
Well, I think a couple things. One, when I was initially approached about, hey, do you know anybody that might be interested in this? And my sense of it was, well, I might be. And tell me more about it. The more I thought about it and what Daytona State College is so committed to and the leadership that Dr. Eaton provides as the president of that school, it became evident to me that it connects extremely well to the work that I've done in the past, both with the Flagler County Education Foundation Board that I sit on and I'm going to be president-elect of for the next year. On top of that, what I've done with the Chamber of Commerce here. I think the Flagler County Chamber of Commerce over these last several years, both since I was a chair in 2012 and prior to that, has always been a great influencer within our community and an advocate for our small business community in particular, but overall community at large as well. And I felt like it connected to that. And as you know, I chair the Economic Alliance Council still for the Chamber of Commerce, and you're part of that as well and an integral part of that. And when you take a look at what Daytona State College does for you from an economic development standpoint, it's critical that you have a school like that, Emory Riddle, some of these others that we have nearby, because it helps you attract quality employers into the area. The second piece is it's critical from the standpoint of our existing employers because it is a, as a state college, one of the things fundamentally it does is it tries to address workforce issues and skill sets that are needed and identify programs that can help employers find qualified people and train qualified people. And so as a result of that, there's just this natural connection to it, and my passion around economic development and wanting to see our county, in particular Flagler, but also the region as well, grow and prosper in terms of quality jobs so that all these high school students that, and elementary and middle school students that we're doing such a great job of educating, when they come out of school, they have quality jobs to come back here to, and they don't have to feel like they have to, you know, go off to Atlanta or Tampa or Orlando or any other cities. That if they want to come back home to work, live, and play, they can do that.
Sure. Well, Gary, my compliments to you and my congratulations to you on your appointment by the governor to the Daytona State College Board of Trustees. And also on behalf of our community, thank you for your contributions, not only to the chamber, but to the community at large, but particularly the business and economic development community. And lastly, sir, thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Same here. Thank you very much for having me.
We're going to hear from our commercials, and we'll be right back to close up. My name is Howard Holly, and you are listening to Against All Odds.
Hi, this is Gretchen Smith of the Flagler County Chamber. Our mission is to help local businesses thrive, which is also the name of our new business-to-business magazine. Thrive is a great tool for area businesses and others considering Flagler as their corporate home. With interesting content, business highlights, trending topics, and insights you won't find elsewhere, Thrive is produced by and for Flagler County businesses. To advertise in this quarterly magazine, call the Holly Group at 386-283-5907. Let us help you thrive.
This is John Subers for the Florida Hospital Flagler News Update. Florida Hospital Flagler has named Robert Davis to serve as our hospital's chief nursing officer. Robert has been with Florida Hospital for over 16 years and will be responsible for planning and overseeing all administrative functions and clinical standards of practice and care for our patients. For more information, visit FloridaHospitalFlagler.com. This has been a Florida Hospital Flagler News Update.
Your partner for life.
Welcome back. My name is Howard Holly, and you're listening to Against All Odds, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Wetzel. So, Kristen, we just got through listening to Gary Lubi, and in this segment, we're always talking about driveway moments, moments that you want to stay in the driveway and continue listening to the show. What did you hear that would have caused you to do that?
Okay, there's two things I think that Gary touched on that really resonated with me. One was the whole catalyst that caused him to make changes in his career path and ultimately become as successful as he has been. And it's that whole premise that it's, you know, like one door closes and another one opens. Yep, yep, but sometimes yep. it's not a door. Sometimes it's a window. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking for a door when actually it's over there. It's the window that's open. So he was looking for one thing and didn't see it as an opportunity. So like that guy Danny said to him, it could be the best thing that ever happened to him, but he didn't know it yet mm-hmm. because he didn't see it as an opportunity mm-hmm. when in actuality it was. And then the second thing that that resonated with me was the personal board of directors. It kind of reminded me, I think it was Peter Holmes that had said about how when he was making changes, he reached out to his network of close acquaintances and contacts to get their opinion on things. And Gary seems to do the same thing. You know, he constantly has this set of 3 to 5 people that he can go to with questions that will give him honest advice and send him in the right direction. Not that superficial advice. Oh, you're great at what you do. Those kinds of things, but really people that are committed to his success and that'll be honest with him.
Yeah. Peter talked about drawing from his network. And he talked about how extensive that network was. And I think that ties very well into this personal board of directors, which is a really good concept, I think, for people to consider and to take on. So, let's begin to wrap up. Our guest next week is Sam Perkovich. Sam is the broker and owner of Parkside Realty. She is also president of the Palm Coast Arts Foundation. So we'll be talking about both subjects with her next Saturday here at 10 o'clock. I hope that you've enjoyed today's show and that you will continue to join us. As always, you can find us on the website. Where is that?
HowardHolleyPresents.com.
And on podcast.
Yes, on iTunes. Search for Howard Holley Presents, and you can download our podcast and get all of the episodes, past and future.
My name is Howard Holley, and your name?
Kristen Weitzel.
And we will see you next week. Best luck to you in the upcoming week and overcoming your challenges both today and tomorrow. Have a blessed week. Goodbye.